I do ask you to open your Bibles up to Colossians chapter 3 to the text that Chris read for us. I want to begin with this statement by Dan Williams. Thanksgiving is a holiday in which we are doubly blessed, doubly blessed. And the we in that statement is Christians. Thanksgiving is a holiday in which we Christians are doubly blessed. From a purely human standpoint, we get a couple of days off, we enjoy the opportunity to be with family, and we have an excuse to eat all the good food that we want. That's a great opportunity, isn't it? But from a spiritual perspective, it gives us another opportunity to perform one of the most pleasant duties that God desires from us, and that is to give Him thanks. To thank Him for His blessings. It's always good and pleasant to count our blessings because we're reminded of all the good things in our lives and we're reminded from whom these things have come. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, or who does not change like shifting shadows. God is the giver of all good things. Thanksgiving, as James Graham prayed, is not just a holiday. It should be an everyday activity for the child of God. The Apostle Paul emphasized giving thanks throughout his epistles. And I don't think it takes much pondering to realize why the Apostle Paul would express so much gratitude and would encourage us to do the same. Surely it has to do something about the circumstances of his conversion. How he was literally headed down the wrong road with the wrong intentions, but the Lord stopped him and revealed to him who Jesus was and the mission that Jesus had for him. And just as zealous as Paul was against Christianity, he became just as zealous for Christianity. And no doubt had that overwhelming gratitude for the grace that had been extended to him in his own life. So to me, it's no wonder that so many of his epistles would contain this theme of thanksgiving. Colossians is an example. Only four chapters in Colossians, but he mentions thanksgiving and gratitude seven times in those four chapters. In chapter 1, verse 12, or verse 3, he begins by thanking God for the faith and love of the Christians at Colossae. Verse 12, he encourages them to give thanks. In chapter 2, notice how Paul describes the Christian life. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. As you've received Christ, walk in Him. But as you walk, continue to walk in Him, abound in thanksgiving or overflow with thankfulness. In chapter 4, Paul gives a final reminder to the Christians there, to you and to me. Continue earnestly in prayer, or devote yourselves to prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So over and over, in every chapter in the book of Colossians, Paul reminds us to be thankful, to express our thanks to God. In chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, he mentions thankfulness three times in these three consecutive verses. In these three verses, we also see the benefits of expressing our thanks to God. The first benefit is this: it helps to make our relationships right. Being thankful, being grateful, helps to make our relationships right. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I did some study on that word rule, and it actually has an athletic background. And outside of Corinth, there were these Isthmian games where Paul probably saw some of these athletes perform in these athletic contests. That word rule that's used here by Paul strictly means to preside at the games and distribute the prizes. We might think of an umpire or a judge, one who would reject those contestants who are not qualified or disqualify those who broke the rules. But that's the background of this term. Who's the umpire that's to rule in our hearts? Well, it's Jesus, and particularly the peace of Christ, or the peace of God. That inner calm that Jesus gives. And so, when we're faced with a situation, we ask things like, which choice will maintain that peace that Christ has given us? Which choice will be the most confident that God will bless? We're to let the peace of God, that peace that Christ gives, rule, umpire our hearts. After all, we're called into one body, Paul says. And the church is to be one, is to be united. You see, the context here is relationships within the body, the family of God. And that peace of God is to reign in each of our hearts, so that to be reminded that we're called in one body, and therefore we're to maintain that unity. Or as Paul said, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and verse 3. But it seemingly, on the end of that verse, it almost looks like an ingredient that may be just tagged on, and be thankful. But if you look at it in its context, I think we'll realize that being thankful does help us be harmonious in our relationships. An attitude of gratitude helps create harmony among brethren. Because gratitude or thankfulness helps me to be content and at peace. And that in turn enables me to get along with other people. A grateful person is going to be a positive person. A positive person is not looking for a fight, isn't quarrelsome or contentious. Ungrateful people, on the other hand, are going to be dissatisfied with themselves, unhappy with others, and they will cause resentment wherever they go. Do you see how thankfulness helps our relationships to be harmonious? There was a man writing at a desk at the post office. An elderly man approached him, asking for his help. He said, "Young man, I can't see very well. Could I ask you to address this postcard for me?" Well, the man at the desk said, "Certainly I will." Then after he addressed it for him, the elderly man said, "Well, would you put this stamp on it, please?" He said, "Certainly," and he did so. "Well, would you write out my message on the back?" "Certainly," and the elderly man dictated the message to the man as he wrote it on the postcard. Then the man asked, "Would you sign my name?" Happy to do so, the younger man signed his name. The man then held up the postcard with all the things that the elderly man had asked him to write upon it, and said, "Well, is there anything else I can do? Anything else I can add for you?" Well, the older man looked at it and thought for a moment and said, "Yes. Would you add this at the end? P.S. Please excuse the sloppy handwriting." Think of it this way. With whom would you rather associate? Someone who is always grumbling and complaining, or someone who is optimistic and cheerful? With whom would you rather associate? People who routinely recite their burdens in life, or those who continually count their blessings? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Thankfulness helps make our relationships right. When you go to a pet shop to buy a bird, they're looking for a songbird, a parakeet, or a cockatiel, or a finch. I've never heard of anyone going into a pet shop and asking for a buzzard. No one wants to be around a person who's always looking for the rotten things in life. To avoid that, therefore, we need to focus on the good things in life, the blessings that God has given. And a benefit of that is it'll help make our relationships right. Secondly, gratitude, thankfulness makes our attitudes attractive. Makes our attitudes attractive. Look with me to verse 16. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. New King James and other versions, instead of gratitude, says sing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to God. That's interesting. With grace. And sure enough, the word there in the Greek is the word that is often translated grace. I looked it up the definition in Strong's, and it had these words. Graciousness of manner or act. Notice this statement. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. Putting it all together, the divine influence upon the heart, grace, is going to be reflected in our lives through gratitude. Grace in our lives is going to be reflected in our lives by being grateful. So Paul is instructing us to sing with gratitude in our hearts to God. This will not only be pleasing to God, but it'll help teach and admonish one another when we sing with grace and gratitude in our hearts. This verse teaches us many things, but one is that we can choose our attitudes. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Make that choice. And it means that we have the ability to determine what we will think about, focus on, what we will dwell on in life. Earlier, verses 1 and 2 of Colossians 3. If then you are raised with Christ in baptism, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Make that choice again where your focus is going to be. Set it on things above. We can choose what we're going to dwell on. Dan Williams writes that he has a friend in Virginia who has an unusual radio in his office. He received it from a local radio station many years ago as a part of their promotional campaign. There's the unique thing, what makes this radio unusual, is it only gets one station. The radio station that gave it as a promotional, in the promotional campaign. Only one station. Let's be careful that we're not focused on one station of counting our burdens instead of our blessings. Because the truth is, we can choose what we're going to focus on. And that this verse teaches that very thing. And we can choose, therefore, an attitude of gratitude. It's a choice that we must make. Thankful people have a healthier perspective on life because gratitude causes us to focus on our blessings and not our burdens. Dan Williams also told about Scott and Jennifer White, members of the church at El Dorado, Arkansas, had a four-year-old daughter at the time, Allison. They were planning a shopping trip to Texarkana, Texas, and Allison had some birthday money and some chore money that she wanted to spend. And Scott and Jennifer, wanting to be good Christian parents, saw this as an opportunity to try to teach a lesson in perspective to their little four-year-old girl. And so they said to her, now we don't need to buy everything we see. We need to be thankful for what we have. To which four-year-old Allison replied, when I have everything I want, then I'll be thankful for what I have. And that may not sound unusual for a four-year-old, but the problem is when that attitude continues, I'll be thankful for what I have when I have everything that I want. when we really need to see that as a childish perspective that we need to grow out of. Here's a statement for you. Gratitude is the attitude that makes life great. Gratitude is the attitude that makes life great, which leads to our third point. Thankfulness is good for us because it makes life lovely. Look with me to verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you look at verses 15 through 17, here we have three guidelines for living. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, verse 15. Let the word of Christ dwell within you, verse 16. And then let the name of Christ be our central concern. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means that we're going to seek to act, to live our lives with the approval of Jesus, desiring His approval. That means we're going to act in the authority of Jesus. We're going to accept His standard for the rule for our lives. And that means we're going to act for the acclaim of Jesus. That means that we're going to seek to glorify Jesus by the way that we live. And we certainly don't want to do anything that will bring dishonor to the name of Jesus. But not only that, isn't Paul also teaching that we're to do all, everything that we do, you give thanks to God the Father through Him? As you're living your life, seeking to honor Christ, one way that we honor Him is by continually being grateful for His blessings. It's a way of life. It's more than thanksgiving. It's thanks living. It's thanks living. Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving. God desires from us thanksgiving. Do you think that God could tire of whining and complaining? Because He knows that blessing ungrateful people is a waste of time. They'll only find something else to grumble about. In one part of Mexico, I've read that because of a geothermal quirk deep underground, a hot spring bubbled up right next to a cold spring. And years ago, the women of the nearby village could be seen boiling their clothes in that hot spring and then rinsing them in that cold spring. And a tourist watching this procedure remarked to his Mexican guide, I guess they think Mother Nature's pretty generous. Oh no, senor. The guide replied, there's much grumbling because she supplies no soap. Does God hear more grumbling or gratitude from you and me? Several years ago, Keith Obraski of Fridley, Minnesota, went to an ATM machine to get $20 out of his account. When he punched the buttons, money just started pouring out of that ATM. And finally, after he had collected it all, it was $5,580. That's pretty good for a $20 investment, isn't it? But as you think about that ATM pouring out that money, that really is a picture of what God does for you and for me. He blesses us abundantly. By the way, Obraski did the honest and honorable thing. He gave the money back. God doesn't require us to return all of His bounty. He does expect us to use it to His glory and to give to His cause, His work. But God does ask for one very important response always. And that is an attitude of gratitude. To be thankful for His blessings. The greatest of which is Jesus. Have you expressed your gratitude for that greatest gift of all by surrendering your life in obedience to His will? It may be that there's one or more who's ready to obey the gospel of Jesus this morning, ready to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And having turned from sin, you're ready to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away by His blood. I can't think of a better way to express your gratitude than to obey the gospel this morning. And it may be that there are some changes that you and I need to make. Some may desire the prayers of the church to that end. Some may have a burden that they want the church to help them by praying with them and for them. We want to do that. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.